Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Will T, myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, part of Empire Media. Sorry, folks, for the delay. Life stuff happens. What's going on, fellas?
I mean, I get massacred if I said nothing much or, but I'm doing okay. You know, hot as hell in here.
Bruh,
in the DMV.
Oh.
But you know, also one of our sports teams is starting to heat up, so yeah. You know, it's making it a little bit more interesting for me.
Definitely, but you were talking about the heat. The heat was real, man. So real. Like I went out just to go to the gym, and I felt like I was about to die just to try to drop. And just when I got in my car, I felt like just making a U-turn going back just to go back home because it was so hot.
Well, I mean, do you have an AC in your car?
I do, but I mean, when you make that walk though, it's just a little exhaust. You know what I'm saying? Like it just hits you because at first, like you know.
See, That's how I know you're not really Nigerian.
I knew you go.
Wouldn't even be anything to you, bro.
Hey, man.
That's how I know you're not really
look,
Nigerian,
bro. Man. Like I'm just. You know what? You know, you. I mean, it's an odd thing. You're right, man. In terms of me not liking the heat, it is an odd thing. But I just can't stand the heat. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually not alone, though, because my mom can't stand the heat either. And she's a thoroughbred. We were in Nigeria, and I remember, like, she was talking to her sister. I was out back, and I was watching her from the balcony, and I just saw her facial expression. And she just, like, she didn't say bye. She just walked out on him and just went back inside. And I was like, why were you so rude? She was like, it was hot. I was like, you dirty. So I'm like, she didn't say, hey, it's too hot outside. She didn't say like, hey, I gotta go. She just like was there right back inside. I was like, all right, yeah, okay. I must get it from you then. Man, AC, man, America and AC is great, man. It's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Listen, it's one of the greatest inventions ever.
It is.
The greatest invention. I am truly grateful for it. I do not take it for granted. You know, so I know there are plenty of people who unfortunately aren't able to sustain keeping on the AC all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm truly blessed and I'm truly thankful for that. It's the little things in life for me.
Facts, bro. Facts. All right. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows such as the John Keim Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Keim and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the urban sports scene.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news, health, and of the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all Empire shows, as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Let's get into our tradition.
The pregame? Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Hit it.
Pregame.
My man. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, you cut me off.
I know, man. Look, man, it's been a rough day, man.
You ruined the moment for me.
Can we rewind? Can we rewind can we do that again, though?
That's my tagline. That's something that, you know, I take pride in. But
hey, you want to rewind that then? We want to do it over? We can rewind it.
Nah, man, we already here.
Here's what we have.
We already here.
I know, right? Here's what we have on tap. We'll discuss possible hires for the Washington Wizards head coaching position at 8:25. We'll talk about, hopefully at 8:25, we'll talk about the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals of the NBA playoffs. Finally, we'll talk about Tank Davis and Lomachenko putting in work Saturday night. But first, as we all know, the Washington Wizards and Scott Brooks parted ways. With all these teams making moves early, like Chauncey Billups going to Portland, Jason Kidd going to Dallas, Rick Carlisle going back to the Pacers. What's taking the Wizards so long?
It's crazy because Udoka. Oh, go ahead, Will.
No, my bad.
Will, you was there for a minute. I rotated the ball to you, then Wally messed you up. You know, now the ball got past me, and Will, you stepped in front of me, bro. But real quick, it's just crazy that the Celtics had Udoka.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had Troy Halliburton on for our Scott Burke special, he indicated the Wizards were heading towards a black head coach. Now, another report from a national news outlet said the same thing. So I'm thinking that it comes down to two guys. My guy, Sam Cassell. Hey, Wole, I've been saying Sam Cassell for how long now?
For a minute, bro. For a minute.
Yeah, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. And then, of course, the other name is Wes Unseld Jr. Will T, I don't know how you feel about these two guys. Wes Unseld Jr., obviously, household name. The team dedicated this past season to his father who passed. And he's also somebody who coaches up defense. He had a lot of success out there in Denver. But Sam Cassell is a guy that's been in this organization, has coached in this organization, knows Bradley Beal, played the point guard at a high level. I've been endorsing him for a while. That's my guy if I'm going to hire somebody as head coach. But the knock on him is that he's been on that bench with Doc Rivers through too many failures. What do you guys think?
Well, so here's the thing. I think, you know, people want to over-scrutinize Sam Cassell for being on the bench with Doc Rivers and being a part of those failures with those teams coached by Doc Rivers. I'll give you another perspective. What if Sam Cassell has learned from those failures? What if Sam Cassell has effectively said, okay, I wouldn't do it like that in his mind, you know, or even verbally he's articulated, I wouldn't do it like that. This is what I would do. So now he's in a position, you know, hopefully – you know, Sam Cassell was a guy that learned as a player, and now as a coach, you could say, okay, I wasn't in the best position with those teams led by Doc Rivers, so I know what to do when I get into those situations. I know what potentially could work and what doesn't work. So I think I think it could possibly be work in his favor.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Will has a great point. You're looking at Sam Cassell. You can learn from Doc. Doc, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Doc had made some, you know, some suspect moves in that series with Atlanta, or just in general in his coaching career. But he is a champion, so you do get to learn from a guy who won a championship, who did improve a Philadelphia 76ers team. There were a lot of people who said that they just were a better team, just obviously during clutch situations, just didn't work out for Doc. So Sam can learn from that, you know what I mean? So, and he can learn some of the good from Doc. So I think, to me, Sam Cassell is in a situation where, you know, he's in a situation where he should be able to be a good coach, because he learned from a guy who's done it before, won a championship, who's been experienced in coaching, and he can bring his own thing to it. Because we all know, just watching Sam Cassell back in the day with the Houston Rockets and Milwaukee Bucks and whatnot, is that Sam Cassell and Minnesota is a guy that has a high level of confidence, which I think will play well with coaching Russell Westbrook and also a Bradley Beal. So I think Sam Cassell would be a perfect fit for this organization.
To go back to your original question, though, what's taking so long?
Oh, yeah.
Really, they were the last team to make a decision. So I'm not mad at this time frame because, at least in my eyes, two of the candidates that we're highlighting are still out there on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure they're doing their thorough search of the college game and possibly even the international game as well to see who might be the best candidate. So I'm okay with Tommy taking his time. It'll be interesting, though, to see if your jury comes in as president of basketball operations. Now, that would change the whole dynamic, because then he'll be in control. Tommy will still be able to make personnel decisions, but your jury would be the guy. So I'm waiting to see what Ted is going to do on that front. And we have not heard if the Raptors are going to re-up your jury. But no news, I guess, is a good news at this point.
But it's crazy,
so
right?
Let me ask you guys.
Go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
Do you guys think that's ultimately that's what's taking this process so long? They're trying to fill out, you know, will Masai Ujiri get an extension in Toronto?
Point.
And if he doesn't get an extension in Toronto, maybe they're saying, okay,
I think they're just
let this process play out.
I think there's a lot of factors. I do think that, I mean, maybe that's playing a part. I mean, I think you have to also look at what Brad wants to do, which coach he prefers. So I'm sure there's a, you know, there's a couple individuals in that office, I'm sure, that are kind of making, you know, they're putting in their two cents and seeing who would be best suited to coach this team. I'm not a big fan of this, like, of this process about how long it takes, because I do think that if you take too long, some of these coaches that, you know, that you value will go elsewhere. So, because I feel like a lot of good coaches have been, like, kind of picked up early, regardless of if it's Sam Cassell or not. To me, why not? If you want Sam Cassell, get Sam Cassell now. If you want whoever, get him now, because the longer you wait, there can be another team that's out there that wants to get that same coach, and they may be ready to do it, like, right now.
Or is it, I mean, have we even fathomed the thought that maybe from a coaching perspective, mm-hmm. that this may not be a very exciting or very or an opportunity that most coaches that are well experienced, that have been in the NBA for a while and have that prerequisite coaching experience that I'm sure that front office and the fan base are looking for, view this as a opportunity where they can be successful long term.
Ray, what do you think? I mean, do you think
the good part is, out of the remaining vacancies, the Wizards don't have the worst vacancy. Orlando clearly is the one that nobody wants at this point, which is why they don't have a strong candidate. I know they interviewed Becky Hammon, and they had a couple of other guys that they were interested in, but Orlando's in a true rebuilding situation. Washington, to me, is a better job than Portland. I know people argue that because many say that Portland – they're dedicated to winning. They want to win. But if you look at the core pieces, and we don't know what Denny's going to be. I'm talking about, of course, Brad, Russ.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw Rui in the mix, a young Denny who's still, again, 19 years old, 6'8", can defend, can shoot. There's upside. You can build around these guys in the Eastern Conference that the Wizards, if healthy, can finish in the top five. I feel like a coach should want to come in and – further develop what this group already started this season, because they finished on such a high note. I'm talking about the regular season and play-in. Why not come in and say, all right, I can advance this group to go from top eight to top five and really contend? Because if you're top five, you'll get a matchup maybe against like a Hawks team that you can compete against. The Sixers were just a bad matchup, and it just hurt. Yeah. I feel like they would at least got two games from Brooklyn possibly, and or two games from Milwaukee. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I know others might disagree. But I don't think it's as bad a job as some make it out to be, although many question Ted's ability to run a successful basketball operation.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I don't know if it's better than Portland. I mean, once you got a dude like Dame, that's a whole different argument. But I see you coming from it. You're talking about as a whole. I think that, you know, if you're a coach, there's jobs that, a job that's available. You're definitely competing with New Orleans, regardless of what. I mean, you want to see what's going to happen with Zion, you know, because there's talks about Zion wants to leave New Orleans. But I think that's a landing spot that many coaches would like to kind of have them to have their hands in. You know what I mean? Because there's a bunch of young talent. Though you have to make sure they have to make sure they sign certain players or bring certain players back, or if they want to go a different direction. But that's a team that I can see a coach wanting to kind of tackle or take the opportunity to coach. But yeah, the Wizards, to me, just depends on what you're looking for and what you think about the long term with, say, Bradley Beal, Westbrook. To me, it's all predicated on Bradley Beal. Is he really going to be there, you know, throughout, you know, for 3, 4, 5 years? If you can get that commitment, yeah, if I'm a coach, I would definitely want to coach Bradley Beal. Because right now he's in the prime of his NBA basketball career, so why not? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amppire Media, amppiremedia.com. Anybody got anything else to say before we go to break? Or somebody has something to say?
I didn't know if you were going to ask the Russell Westbrook, or you wanted me to ask the Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal question.
Oh, ask that. Go for it, bro. Go for it.
No, because I do think that both of them, of course, I mean, it's obvious that they're going to be involved in the hiring process.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though Brad should have more input than Russ, because this is who you build your team around. Russ has only been there a year, and Scott was his guy. Now, you know, at this point, I know he had a lot of triple-doubles, but he was brought in my eyes, to be a complimentary piece to Bradley Beal. Now, a co-star, technically.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Brad should have the most input. And if he does and he bounces and that stuff, so you gotta have certain people instead of people to make that transition.
Well, bro, you brought up an interesting aspect. You know, when we got to Bill, but I would say because he could potentially leave after, and you know, the next 2 years, how truly committed to the organization is he for one? Two, have you gotten some type of wink from him or his agent to let you know, hey, I want to be here in the long term? Because realistically, in Bradley Beal's contract, Bradley Beal going into the 2023 season will be 30 years old. And we all know that that's that point in a player's career where they're like, okay, it isn't working here. I don't necessarily have the high profile that I feel I deserve, you know, from a national standpoint. Will Bradley Beal say, okay, I'm going to go to greener pastures, whether those greener pastures are in Los Angeles, Miami, New York, or some other organization where he feels he could, that's more readily equipped to win a NBA title.
You see, and
here's where
go ahead, Ray.
I think, oh, go ahead, Will.
No, because the only thing I was going to add is that there's a rumor out. I mean, I'm sure you heard about it, Ray. There's a rumor out there about Bill, and the rumor is that it's. I mean, I think was it Colin Cowherd said that. I don't know who his source was, but he says Bill doesn't want to be in D.C. He wants to team up with Jason Tatum, and he's ready to go. He's willing to go to Boston. I think I heard this like yesterday. I heard this yesterday. And so that's I mean, we all know he's tight with Jason Tatum. That's the only thing that I can see to get Bradley Bill out of D.C. is if there's an opportunity to play with Jason Tatum in Boston. Or, yeah, in Boston, because I don't think Boston's not letting Jason Tatum go. So that's the only way I can see Brad leaving D.C., to be honest with you.
Tatum signed a long-term deal.
Yeah, but, that's what I'm saying.
Here's what I think it's predicated on. That's a whack rumor because him and Jason Tatum are tight. Just like there was a picture posted of Quinn Cook and Brad, and all these people started posting, oh, they're playing together next season.
Yeah.
There's no indication that Quinn is going to be a Wizard. So I'm not going to necessarily take that into consideration until we get some more strong sources that report that. But here's what I feel and here's what I've been hearing. Brad is playing on Team USA.
Yeah.
Let's say Brad goes out there and he fries with other stars in that squad, including Kevin Durant. Then I could totally see Brad saying, you know what? I'm in demand to play anywhere, and I know I can hoop. Mm. But if Brad goes out there and he's an afterthought playing against these other talented guys in the league, then he's going to say, I'm going to stay put in D.C. because I know I'm going to be the alpha dog. I'm going to have the ball in my hands.
Facts.
I think I said that.
And he's just beginning to develop as a closer. Like, I'm watching Chris Middleton finally develop into this guy that you can get the ball to home on the road, big game situations, late game situations. I mean, it's taken a minute, but he's gotten there now. And I'm like, okay, this is where Brad needs to go to. Because Wally always talks about guys that can make shots that lead up to, you know, that big shot, but not make the shot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Paul George seems to be, like, on the cusp of that, too. Like, Paul George makes big plays all the time. But when it really matters, he seems to struggle.
Facts.
Brad is committed to getting better every summer. I think Brad can become that guy. But if Brad goes out on Team USA in Tokyo and he gets buckets, I think he's a goner, bro, because he's going to say, you know what, if I can hoop amongst these talented guys and still get my numbers, then I can go to another organization and win.
Facts. That's true. Ray mentioned Chris Middleton. Matter of fact, they're playing tonight in the Eastern Conference finals against the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young will not play, but we'll talk about all that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Western Conference Finals,
Eastern
Conference Finals, baby.
You dig, Deuce. What it do? I'm your homie Wole with the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, and I'm here to tell you about Monkey Knife Fight. Monkey Knife Fight is the fastest growing sports gaming platform in North America, while being the third largest daily fantasy sports platform. It's easy to play. Users don't have to spend all day analyzing salary caps and lineups like other daily fantasy sports sites. It also offers all the major sports plus UFC, golf, esports, soccer, college basketball, NASCAR, and much more. Plus, users won't compete against thousands of professionals with algorithms like other daily fantasy sports sites. That crap could be annoying. Monkey Knife Fight has various jackpot contests such as Home Run Derby, which is the MLB $5,000 jackpot on Fridays, and Eagle Eye, which is the PGA $2,500 jackpot on Thursdays. Sign up now and get your chance to win the bag. Go to www.monkeyknifefight.com. Again, that is www.monkeyknifefight.com. And don't forget to sign up using the code URBAN. Again, that's URBAN. That's URBAN, URBAN. Hey, help me make you great. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy, part of Ampire Media. That's ampiremedia.com.
Last night against the Phoenix Suns, facing elimination, the Los Angeles Clippers forward Paul George scored 41 points, leading the Clippers to a big Game 5 road victory. The Suns are up 3-2 in the series. So far, what are your thoughts on the series?
Oh man, this has been an entertaining series. I think you get to see the two coaches coaching well in this series. To be honest with you, I haven't been the biggest Tyronn Lue fan in the past, but with this group during this playoff run, he's been very impressive. And you know, Monty has done great the whole year, and even in this series, we remember the play with DeAndre Ayton for that lob dunk to win the game. So and just to draw up that kind of play. So to me, you know, what sticks out to me in this series is just the coaching. The coaching has been top flight, to be honest with you. It's been some of the highest level of coaching I've seen in such a long time in the series.
Yo, I love the psychological battle between these two teams.
Yeah.
What's hilarious is the Clippers came out desperate. Mm-hmm. Obviously, last game, because they knew they were going to bring elimination.
Yeah.
And Phoenix came out chill, knowing that they could beat them. But the Clippers are like, in the games that you've beaten us, you haven't beaten us by much,
Facts.
Even at your house, so we know we can beat y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But Phoenix got this swagger now, which I think hurt them last game because they were a little bit too relaxed, and they just knew they were going to make a run, which they did, but the Clippers responded well. And what can you say about Boogie Cousins coming out in Game 5 and hooping? I was like, yes, it's good to see him kind of now getting back healthy and being a key contributor. Of course, Marcus Morris. So the role players stepped up big for the Clippers, obviously. And the Suns, they have an exciting team. But if Cameron Payne is jacking up threes and he's not making them, he's nowhere near as beneficial to your squad. In addition to that, the Suns always go for the big punch. They always go for that three where they want to set the crowd off. And usually, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, they make these threes.
Mm-hmm.
But last game, they just didn't fall. Those big counter punches just didn't land, as an ode to boxing, as we're going to talk at the end of the show. But I just love the psychological warfare because they both feel like they're better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, it shows. I love Phoenix confidence. And I know people are saying if Kawhi was here, it wouldn't even be close. Man, when the Clippers had Kawhi, they struggled at times, like in the Mavericks series. But what stands out to me even bigger than the coaching, Wole, I know we love Monty, is both of these teams, they strap, as Wole says.
Yeah.
We love defense on this show because our home team does not play any of it.
But nah, and to also in the series, what I like about, you know, and I just want to put the bit about the Paul George playoff performance, whatever. Like, to me, you know, if it was somebody else that's dropped 41 in an elimination game, in a game that your back is against the wall, you know what I mean? You're going against a team that has a bunch of momentum, and you drop 41 to force it to an extra game, we'd be gassing that player up. Like, we would be gassing him up. If it was Giannis, we'd be gassing him up. If it was KD, we'd be gassing him up. But it's Paul George. It's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? So I think he deserves props. I think he put this thing to bed that he can't perform in the postseason. If you look at his stats, he can perform in the postseason. Does he come up short? Yes, he does. You know what I mean? I can name you a couple of players who've done it often in the postseason. I can name LeBron. LeBron did it against the Mavericks in the finals. LeBron at the free throw line. We've seen LeBron miss multiple clutch free throw shots. You know what I'm saying? So to me, you know, he gets a different rap, like obviously because he came out with that playoff P stuff. But still, when we look at fact, just being factual and talk about his play, there are not too many basketball players that can do what Paul George does. Like, he plays defense, he scores, he rebounds, he passes, he facilitates. That is, to me, an example of a high quality basketball player. So, you know, for all the people out there who just want to kind of like rag on him, now sometimes y'all got to stop the hate. The hate is too much. Like, if he plays bad, okay, I get it. But when he plays good, put that same energy out there when he plays good. Like, put that same amount of energy. Don't go quiet. Don't go quiet at all. Like, and acknowledge it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just acknowledge it. Because dude balled out. Like, 41 on the road in the Western Conference Finals? That's you got scared. You got ballers out there who play at the highest level get scared at the moment. That's 41.
Or do you feel like he's Scottie Pippen?
He's Scottie. He's Scottie.
Even KD has had like the KD game, or you can go back and watch that what? LeBron game. Dwight Howard's had him. Many players have had the game where it's gonna live on.
But you don't think this game is that game? Like, the dude's shot for like a crazy percentage. For again, this is an elimination game for him. Like, this is not. This is not like this. This is. It's because it's Paul George. To be honest with you, Ray. It's because it's Paul George. Because if it was somebody else, this would be that game. This would be that game. If Dwayne Wade did what Paul George did, it would be a Dwayne. That would be a highlighted game. We would be talking about that game for a while. You're down again. You're down. Like, the way, and especially the way that game started. The way it started, it was like, oh, he playing like some ish. Like, he looks scared out there. Then all of a sudden, he comes back in the second quarter and he just turns up. Like, on the second half, he just turns up. Like, for, I think he had like 20, like in a quarter or 20 and a half or whatever. 20, yeah, I think it's 20 and a quarter or something like that. And he just went ham. And he was hitting all types of shots. Dude was hitting step backs. He was hitting 3 points. Like, if Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Melo, if they did this in the postseason, you don't think we'd be gassing them up? You don't think ESPN, Fox, all them dudes would be gassing them up? Yes, they would. So I just felt like it was that game. It's 40. It's 40 with, I think it's 41 with like, what, double-digit rebounds? Shooting way over 50%? You know, I think he had like six assists.
I think it depends on how the series plays out. Well, yeah. I don't think it's so disrespectful to Paul George. I like Paul George, and I think he gets way too much criticism. I'm right on board with you. I hope you know that anyway.
Yeah.
But my point is, a good example was last season in the bubble.
Yeah.
Utah had Denver 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Murray was putting up crazy numbers. And, of course, just like Paul George, it was talked about, but it wasn't like Jamal Murray has arrived. But when they came back and won that series,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, Jamal Murray has arrived. So, yeah. Paul George, if he advances to the finals, mm-hmm. I feel as though this series will be remembered, especially without Kawhi, as the Paul George series.
Yeah.
But without that, unfortunately, he does not get a fair shake. You're right.
Yeah, I just think that it's interesting. It is really. Will, I don't want to phase you out, Will, because you know you saying I phase you out sometimes. Will?
I mean, you took the ball, froze me out. You know, but
I'm not going to do that to you.
No. I'm just giving you a hard time. Paul George is, you know, Paul George had an amazing game. This is, as you said, Wallet, I think both of you both said this. If Paul George is able to get this team over the hump,
mm-hmm.
come back from a 3-1 deficit without Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. him being the primary ball handler, the playmaker, facilitator, everything, this will do a lot for Paul George's image.
Mm.
But on the flip side, you have another guy on that other side, Chris Paul.
Oh yeah, right? Here we go. Yeah.
Chris Paul is a guy who, you know, I know we've had this debate many times before, but I think when people reflect on his career, people will say Chris Paul is potentially one of the top 5 point guards of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul, but he hasn't had as much team success, right?
Yeah.
Meaning this is the first time he ever gotten to the Western Conference Final. He's never advanced to the NBA Finals, and he's currently up 3-2. Let me ask you guys this. Who needs to advance more for image purposes, Paul George or Chris Paul?
This is tough. I'm going to say Paul George because I just feel like he gets natural hate. He just does. I think ever since you said the playoff peak thing, it's kind of like grown into something else. I would say Paul George.
Right.
I'm going to say this is probably not the popular opinion, but I'm going to say Paul George as well,
mm-hmm.
because Chris Paul, in spite of what you just said, Will, everywhere he goes, the team makes the playoffs, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know, the teams are relevant. He elevates his big men. He does a lot of good things. He makes young players better.
Mm-hmm.
He does a whole lot. And so his image will be positive regardless. But Paul George, when he went toe-to-toe with LeBron back in those Pacers Heat matchups, he elevated himself to this status.
Yeah.
And then it's like, people were waiting for him to kind of go further on the incline, and instead he hasn't necessarily. I know it's been injury. Injuries is part of that too.
That leg injury.
But Paul George needs to be in the NBA Finals on the biggest stage, because if he does make the NBA Finals and possibly wins, there's no arguing he's a Hall of Famer. He's cemented as a Hall of Famer and an all-time great for real.
Well, I disagree with both of you.
Okay.
Here's why. Mm-hmm. I think it's Chris Paul.
Okay.
As I stated earlier, you know, Chris Paul, whenever we think of the greatest players in the NBA, I think Chris Paul will go down in history as one of the better players.
Me too. Me
in
too.
The NBA. He definitely will go down the best point guard of his era.
Mm-hmm.
We all say, we say, you know, they didn't win the championship, but at least they got their team to a championship, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the gauge of what we think, how we measure a great player or a player who's the best at his position during an extended period of time. And when we go and we measure Chris Paul, you know, we'll say, yeah, he was the best point guard during a period of time. But people will say, was he really? Because he never got his team over the hump and got his team to at least the NBA Finals, where at least, you know, guys like Stockton, Malone, Ewing, Barkley, those guys at least got their team to the NBA Finals. Whereas Chris Paul, he's never gotten his team past the conference finals.
Yeah.
We'll see. Is T-Mac all time great?
In my opinion, no. He's one of the best scorers ever.
Wow. You don't think
it's... I mean, that's just my opinion.
No, I get you.
He's one of the best scorers ever.
Vince Carter. It's a lot of all time greats that just, for whatever reason, don't advance, but you know they're like all time great players.
But you know what about, is about, that's a good point. It's tough. That's tough. And well, how I look at Chris Paul, I look at him like how I look at before. It's like at this point in time in his career, how I looked at Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd got to the finals though. That's a little different.
He won.
This is the thing. Before that though, he won with Dallas like later on. I'm just talking about this point.
He got the next
there. Yeah, it was like
he got the next there twice though.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. He led them twice, so it was a little different. You're right. It's a little different. Yeah, you know what? I mean, Chris Paul had some bad luck, man. I kind of look at situations, though, too, man, because that's why I like
injuries.
And then to me, it you know, we forget that basketball is a team game. It's a team sport. And sometimes Chris Paul does his job. Like, he does his job. I think a lot, especially with the Clippers. With the Clippers, he was doing his job. You had dudes out there who played well all season, and then when they got to the postseason, they forgot how to play basketball. Blake Griffin being, you know, the guy that everybody was marketing, and that's the one I'm talking about. So it's tough, man. It really is. Like, we go into a series thinking like, all right, his teammates are kind of left, but they're leaving him, and he's the only one to do it. I've seen it in terms of watching the Lakers with Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe played well in a bunch of series. This is post Shaq, before they got Paul Gasol, and nobody else helped him out. But them losses weren't on him. It was basically really was on his teammates, because his teammates ain't show up. So it's just tough, man. It's tough.
I think CP and Steve Nash are very similar. Mm. Had really good teams. You ran into some great teams.
Yeah, that's
true. He ran into the Warriors. Speaking of CP3, mm-hmm. and he ran into, of course, in New Orleans, he would run into the top heavy Western Conference,
and that team wasn't that good either.
It's been dominant, man. The Lakers, Kobe
mm-hmm.
Bryant,
mm-hmm.
he ran into some tough squads, a la Steve Nash ran into Kobe Bryant constantly, and it's hard to say that he's not all time great at this point.
You know,
like Steve Nash, I think is all time great, even though he never, I don't think, advanced to the finals. I think he may have gotten to a Western Conference final. It's tough. It really is tough to measure that, in my opinion.
You know what? To that point, though, I actually thought about, like, for instance, like, he played, like you said, he played some tough teams, bro. Like, even the New Orleans teams he was on, that team overachieved, like, because he was so good. Because Chris Paul was so good. Like, their second best player was David West, you know, an undersized forward, right? That was their second best player. So it was like, then you're playing against the Lakers. You know, you're playing against some teams that would, like, the Lakers, you're playing San Antonio. Those are teams that are better than you in terms of their roster. It's almost like, for instance, like when AI got to the finals, right? And they were playing the Lakers. And you're like, yeah. I mean, AI was a dog, and he could do what he could do, but you didn't see them beating the Lakers for real. You know what I'm saying? You were surprised they took that first game, but it was just like, all right, it's just, you know, it is what it is.
So it's just like Chris Paul goes, and to me, when Chris Paul is in the postseason, it's either he gets that situation, or like you, Ray mentioned, there's an injury. Like, he was going to beat Golden State that year, but he had an injury. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were going to be, Houston was going to beat Golden State that year. They had a good chance to beat Golden State. Then he, I think it was a hamstring injury, a groin injury or whatnot, and you didn't get the best of Chris Paul.
That's true.
That's very true, but
it's circumstances.
It's a good topic.
The point you all made about Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter. Do we really consider them the greatest players of all time, or do we them great players for their period?
It's hard for me. Like, I feel bad for Tracy. So Tracy McGrady is different to me, because I just feel like he could have injuries really effed that dude up. I just think that in terms of the eye test, he's one of the more talented dudes I've ever seen in my life. Like, just as an all-around basketball player, I just thought Tracy McGrady, and he was a superstar. It's just that, you know, injuries play a part. Just like when I watched Grant Hill, to be honest with you. I'm like, Grant Hill to me is one of the best players I've ever seen in terms of on that basketball court, but injuries kind of play a part. So if you're telling me about longevity in terms of a career, then yeah, Will, I know what you're saying, and probably not. But if you're talking about in the now, in that time, playing basketball at his peak percent, his peak 100%, yes, I think he was just like I think Penny Hardaway was one of the best players, period. But in terms of longevity, he wasn't. But when he was healthy, there wasn't many people in terms of an impact on his team, just like Tracy McGrady, an impact on their team that can do what they did.
See, when you say great players great scorers who weren't necessarily great players, I can't put T-Mac in that category. I might put Melo in that category.
You put Melo?
Mashburn,
really?
Guys who they entertain. Melo is an all-time great, in my opinion.
I'm about to say, yeah. I love Melo, man.
I'm biased, though. You know, like, I see championship that season. But that's what I'm saying. I want to be objective here. Many will say that Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest all-time scorers, but he's not one of all-time greats because, again, like Will T's talking about, he didn't elevate his team to higher heights. Denver definitely made the playoffs under him, which is dope. Mm-hmm. But in terms of him leading a team to a championship or getting even close, he never really got to that stage. However, I just don't see T-Mac as that guy. I think T-Mac was, as Kobe said, was one of the more comparable guys to a guy like Kobe or Jordan. It's just, for whatever reason, he never got past the first round. That is a huge asterisk, though. Yeah. But I still consider him one of the all-time guys. Steve Nash, too, I think, as well, even though he never reached, quote-unquote, the pinnacle. Yeah. So it all depends on how you measure one's career. And Will T, what you're saying is not necessarily wrong. I can't say that either one of us are wrong. However, you know,
it's hard,
we got the
bro.
Ones that make decisions. Hopefully one day we'll get some votes. For the Hall of Fame,
and basketball Hall of Fame is easy anyway. It goes off your college stuff too. So it is what it is. Christian Laettner's in a basketball Hall of Fame, so it is. You know, you don't have to be the best.
Pro basketball Hall of Fame.
No, it's the same thing. No, it's all one. It's all one. You know that, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's all one. Mm-hmm. Naismith. It's the Naismith Hall of Fame. It's all one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
It is. You're right.
Yeah, it's the easiest hall.
I could have did a Wole argues you down.
That's all good. It's the easiest hall. I call it the easiest Hall of Fame. So all you need to do is have a certain level of success.
Go ahead, Chris Middleton. Take us to the next segment.
Because
you know you like Chris Middleton. You sweat just like that, Bama. And plus,
I do.
You grew into the big shot guy over time.
Hey, shoot. Hey, right. Is the game going on right? The game's on right now, right? Is it on?
Absolutely. Yep.
What's the score right now?
Dedicated to the USS right now.
No, right. I'm about to watch right now. I was watching my man Ross because I have him on a fantasy baseball team. All right. Yeah, you're right. 59 Atlanta. Right now, game four is between Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks is going on. Just like I just mentioned, now it's 11-15. The Bucks are up 2-1 in the series. Your thoughts of the series right now? I'm talking about my man Will T, man. Will.
I think it's an interesting series. Without Trae Young playing, I firmly believe that the Bucks will be able to close this out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll be tonight.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Bucks will be able to close it out tonight because they're only up 2-1.
Uh-huh.
But without Trae Young in the lineup tonight, I believe they go up 3-1. And for from there, it's going to be very tough for Atlanta to get back into the series, even though I selected Atlanta to win the series before the series started.
Okay. Ray, you want me to jump in on this?
I apologize. I thought we'll let you in next.
Oh, I'm gonna go. You know what? I'll go anyway. So
go ahead, brother.
I like this series. I think that for me, you know, Middleton, you know, that Middleton is the dude that I've kind of, like Ray knows, I've kind of had his back, like, throughout the years. I felt like, to me, he's always been, if you're looking at the last 3 minutes or the fourth quarter for the Milwaukee Bucks, he's been like, I heard Kendrick Perkins mention this, and I kind of agree with him. He's been the Batman for this team down the stretch over the last couple of seasons, as, you know, as their dude they go to in clutch time. And it's cool to see that he's kind of taking it to another level, because Ray's right. You know, he's an individual that typically does that on at home, doesn't usually do that on the road. But in this series, he had a big game, game three on the road against this Atlanta squad. So to me, I think the maturation process is getting better. He's getting more confident. I think having Drew Holiday has helped him out too, to be honest with you. But it's been a real interesting series. I think I've had so much respect for Trae Young. You know, I didn't think of Trae Young being that big time player come out of college. I thought he was kind of like a copycat of Steph, and it wasn't going to work out for him. But I love the way he's growing up in the regular season under Nate McMillan and in the postseason. So I just think right now, you know, arguably we're talking about the best young point guard in basketball, and it's a shame that he's hurt and missing in this game.
All right, watch what I'm about to do. Young podcasters out there, take notes, pull out your pens, your pads.
All right, go ahead.
Your recorders. So
it's three happening.
Things real quick. A, John Collins wants to be a max player. It's time to step up when your man is down.
Mm.
Show team that you are that guy so you can get that bag this summer. Secondly, Clint Capella, you're going to play a lot of minutes tonight, bro, because you got to slow Giannis down if you're going to win without Trae Young. And thirdly, Atlanta has shooters all across the board. They can totally still win this game at home. But the last thing I want to say, again, take notes. Atlanta simply is not a sports town. The Hawks crowd has been good, but Javonte Davis sold out that arena the night before, last weekend, and the crowd was even louder for Javonte Davis fight than they have been for the Hawks. There you go, Javonte Davis.
Anyway, that's dope, bro. I see your transition. That was good, dog. You want to talk about Javonte right now? Let's do it, bro. We can do that. Let's talk about Javonte, man. Javonte, Tank Davis, knocked out. It was a Barrios. Yeah, Barrios in the – well, TKO Barrios in the 11th round and to become the WBA super lightweight, right?
Barrios, man.
I said Barrios. Oh, it's Barrios or Barrios? I said Barrios like Rios. Barrios, thank you, Ray Jesus. Appreciate you. That's why I love the team, bro. I love the team.
Didn't watch the fight.
I did watch the fight. I didn't look at the. I didn't watch. I had it on like.
Vaccinated Wally is thirstier than the other one.
I watched the fight, bro. I watched it, but the audio. You know, I wasn't listening. I was watching it. Just didn't listen to it. But yeah, dude was yeah, man. Well, yeah, go ahead, carry on. Anyway, Ray, messing me all up. But yeah.
I'll start.
Bro.
Oh, wait, did you want Will to start?
Somebody start. I don't care.
No, bro. You gotta talk. You gotta talk. Go ahead.
I'm gonna have a lot to say, but I think this will summarize my thoughts.
Okay.
For this fight and beyond.
Okay.
Because it was a step up in weight, of course, which we all know.
It was a great fight, man.
Barrios, similar to Leo Santa Cruz, he was putting his hands on Tank.
Mm.
I know that Tank said he was kind of filling him out to see what his power was like because he had never fought at 140, which is a smart. However, once Tank realized that Barrios couldn't hurt him, that's when Tank went in. And, of course, Floyd Mayweather says, unofficially, you're down. And that motivated Tank to get the knockout. Tank, his power transcends, to me, all the way up to 154. If
oh, my God. It's real, bro.
Which he won't, by the way. He won't. I mean, he's obviously that guy at 135, 140. He is the biggest draw outside of Teofimo that I can think of. What I will say beyond that is, we don't know what Tank's next fight is going to be, and I'm annoyed about what Floyd said afterwards. And to paraphrase, that we're staying in house, we're looking to build the PBC brand, because that means I'm not fighting Teofimo, I'm not fighting Lomachenko, I'm not fighting Devin Haney, I'm not going to fight Ryan Garcia. I do not like the way Tank is being managed, because Tank is just that good. He has the power to knock out anyone to stay within PBC. If you want to be stubborn, knowing that you're still going to make a ton of money. Then pair Tank Davis up against Mikey Garcia. at 135 or 140.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
And that would be the perfect step up fight for him to see is he still that guy, because Mikey Garcia, I mean, look at what he did to Adrian Broner and to Robert Easter. Mikey Garcia is that he's a top fighter in the PBC stable at 135 and can fight at 140. To me, that's going to be Tank's next fight. It should be, at least. Or if you're not, go for the bigger money and pair him up against Teofimo. Go after all the belts. Like, stop playing, Floyd. Like, it's frustrating. I feel like Gary Russell Jr. now. I'm frustrated with how Tank's being managed, because I get what Floyd is doing. And it's not necessarily a bad strategy, because Tank, he's a draw. He's a bigger draw than all the guys I named outside of maybe Ryan Garcia.
And T.O.
I argue T.O. too.
T.O.
But I'm talking about in terms of like Devin Haney and others.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely a bigger. He's a draw. Devin Haney's not a draw because he doesn't knock people out. Mm-hmm. And neither is Shakur because of that same reason.
Yeah.
But Tank, come on, bro. Tank has that power that he can beat anybody. He can knock out anybody on any given time. Pair him up against the best, man. But Mikey Garcia is a great PBC man. I'm just done.
Ray, you mentioned Mikey. No, go ahead. My turn?
Yeah. It's your turn,
yeah.
Will.
Ray, you mentioned Mikey Garcia. That would be, you know, probably one of the ultimate matchups for Gervonta Tank Davis. Tank has proven to be a huge draw, specifically in Atlanta. He's kind of carved out that Atlanta market for himself. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of, you know, who he thinks is next. Ray, you did mention, you know, his promoter, Floyd Mayweather Jr., his comments about, you know, we're going to build up the Mayweather PBC brand and keep the next fight in-house. And that is exactly what's wrong with boxing. That's what's ultimately going to lead to what led to the dwindling popularity of boxing, and why a platform like Thriller is able to, you know, put on these exhibition fights and entertain people, because ultimately people want entertainment, but more realistically, the sports fans want to see the best boxers fight each other.
Uh-huh.
The only way you're going to be able to sustain boxing, but I do understand, where Floyd Mayweather Jr. is coming from, kind of that conflict of interest where he's like, look, man, I don't care. You know, I'm sure he cares about boxing, but he cares about that PBC and that Floyd and Mayweather promotions first. And when you have a megastar like Tank Davis, who has all of the attributes, young, fast, powerful, not afraid to get in there and fight, you know, at times inside of a phone booth, you don't want to easily detract from that, you know, from his projected path.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the guys, the guy you just mentioned, you know, would be a outside of Mikey Garcia, one of the guys you mentioned, Gary Russell Jr. That would be
an interesting
matchup. If, huh?
I would love that. I mean, it's PBC too, right? And it's
I don't know if Gary is specifically signed to PBC. I know he has a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that would be an interesting matchup. That would be a great matchup for, you know, for Prince George's County and Baltimore. Something that could be held, you know, at the Capital One Arena or in Baltimore at the Royal Farms Arena. Be an interesting matchup with Gary Russell Jr.'s speed. I know that when we spoke to him kind of offline, he mentioned, you know, potentially going up to 135.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I would assume if he were to make the jump to 135, his speed would transition well in that power, and I think that would be a great matchup for Tank.
Yeah, that would be a great matchup.
Yeah, Tank don't want to do it.
He don't want to do it. I mean,
he said Gary Russell's too small, and then he said he can't fill up the small MGM, so he don't feel like it'll be a good market fight. But they know, but you know, Gary's not under contract with nobody right now.
So I mean,
Gary Antoine is though. He's at 140.
Yeah,
I think he can fight with the best. But go ahead, my bad. Well,
it's an interesting point. I mean, we've talked about that, you know, that potential of that fight. That would be great for the area, like Will T said. That would be amazing, right? I think that's something that would be organically appeasing for people, not just in this area, but outside, right? Because you'll see the hypeness of just that you know, Baltimore versus, you know, Prince George's County, whatever way you want to spin it, right? And people will see it outside and even within this area, right? It would be big. I think it would be real big. And it's something that I think would be entertaining. It's a winnable fight for Tank, to be honest with you, to be real with you. So it's not a fight that, you know, in terms of the people he's been fighting, they're similar to what Gary can provide. I mean, not obviously not the hand speed, but they're similar in terms of, I'm not sure if Tank would fear Gary's his power, to be honest with you. So it's a fight that I think it could happen. It should happen, and I would like to see it happen, but who knows, man? I'm kind of like over the whole Tank versus Gary thing. I'm trying to look at what, like, a realistic fight for Tank. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mikey, I think, is a fight that would be dope. I agree with you, Will Tito. Like, this whole thing about, you know, he's going to fight only in PBC, I think it's limiting what he can, you know, bring to the boxing game in terms of, you know, building his own brand. Yeah, I get, like, you want to take care of your boxer and you worry about your money. Mayweather worry about his money and his brand. But, you know, what if he beats those dudes? Like, now he's not just one of the stars. He could be the star.
Yeah, I get it. But, you know, this is, once again, it's the politics. Yeah. This is ultimately going to lead to the, you know, not to the demise of boxing. Boxing has been around for a long time. Yeah. But it's going to continue to be minimized in popular culture.
Yeah, definitely. I do want to see him fight Lomachenko, though. I thought that would be dope. You know what I'm saying? I think that's after what I saw with Lomachenko. Looked ready. He looked right, too. You know what I'm saying? If I'm Teofimo Lopez, fighting him.
Specifically, you know, Teofimo Lopez signed the amendment to his contract with Top Rank with the understanding that, you know, his next fight, you know, if he makes this defense in August or September, would be him against would be him on pay-per-view, ESPN pay-per-view. And we all know what the fight that top-ranking Bob Arum is going to push. It's going to be Vasily Lomachenko.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rematch with Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez. And, you know, will it be, you know, the end of, you know, will this be an extension of rounds, you know, 9, 10, 11, and 12? Kind of, you know, even though Lopez won that last round, will it be that or will it be a whole nother fight? Mm-hmm. Right. So, it'll be interesting to see, but Vasily Lomachenko looked impressive. As if, you know, he looked like he did prior to the shoulder injury.
Yeah,
you know, during that Teofimo Lopez fight.
Yeah, he sure did, man. Sure did. So, Ray? What, you good?
I just said Bob. I'm with Will. I'm just frustrated with Bob. He's got Oscar Valdez and Shakur Stevenson sitting right there and won't fight and won't pin them against each other. He also now is going to do a dirty move, as Bob Arum does, and he's going to phase out Devin Haney, who Devin Haney was supposed to get Lomachenko, according to Bob Arum, who said out his mouth, he said, when fans come back, of course, we can do that on pay-per-view. I'll have the deal ready. But the problem with that is, again, politics, is he's upset with Eddie Hearn, because Eddie Hearn put a bid in for the Teofimo fight, even though, of course, Triller got it. But after that, Bob Arum is now he's not going to let Devin Haney, who Devin Haney is, his contract is up right now. He's not even re-signed to Eddie Hearn. So, I know he's not going to sign with no Top Rank either, though. That's like career suicide. For some because, like, where's Terrence Crawford? You got.
Oh, he mad, Aaron bro. Spence. He mad.
Fight Manny Pacquiao.
He mad.
Terrence Crawford sitting at home is terrible.
He mad.
Like,
man.
I don't understand Top Rank at all. Like, I'm so annoyed. And I'm frustrated as a whole with boxing. But I just have a certain disdain for Bob Arum, though, even though Bob Arum does well.
Yeah.
But I think Eddie Hearn is right now, he's at the top of the game. Although, you know, PBC ain't far behind with Tank having knockouts and showings like he did this past weekend.
Yeah, man.
And you still got the Charlo brothers. You still got Benavidez, of course.
You got Earl.
Canelo was the wild card.
You got Earl Spence.
He turned down that deal. He turned down the deal to sign with Al Haymon. Three years, what, $75 million? So
who turned out who?
That he can sort of freelance and still make more money. So, and not freelance, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of do what Gary Russell does, and he'll sign for just that one fight and make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he sees Eddie Hearn is hot. It's not a bad move, but I would love to see Canelo sign with PBC and shut top rank all the way down.
Yeah, I mean, they're close, man. I mean, PBC about the man. This Spence Pacquiao thing about to put Earl on a different tax bracket too. So
exactly,
it's getting insane, man. It really is. But hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Papyri Media at amppapyrimedia.com. And also, and this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire Media shows as well as other great content. Hey, thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We appreciate you. Keep listening to us next week, hopefully with no technical difficulties. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.